What is up, everybody? Welcome to Wildcard Weekend here on Father Dynasty. I am your fatherly host, Chu, coming to you live from the manhole, here to talk a little fatherhood and a little dynasty fantasy football. And to those listeners out there, like, subscribe, review, comment, whatever you got to do, follow me on Instagram at Father Dynasty and let me know what you think. I always appreciate the feedback. So we are in the thick of the NFL playoffs, and we are instead... So we are in the thick of the NFL playoffs right now. Conversely, though, we are in the early stages of the Dynasty Fantasy Football offseason. And to help keep that balance and continuity between the two topics, the fatherhood and the fantasy football, I've got two segments coming up. It's going to be Fatherhood in Five, which is where I talk about what is currently going on in my fatherhood journey in what I believe to be 5 minutes. And the Dynasty Update, which... as it sounds, is indeed an update on the landscape of Dynasty Fantasy Football. In the offseason, we know that can kind of ebb and flow, mostly ebb, but we'll talk about whatever we can. And I guess it's time to shit or get off the pot. So here is Fatherhood in Five. So Fatherhood in Five, this is an update of just my experience as a father, you know, what's currently going on, in what I believe to be 5 minutes. That could be a real 5 minutes. That could be what my son perceives to be 5 minutes. Either way, it's about five. And speaking of my son, it's funny to, this has picked up a lot recently in terms of talking to him when it kind of seems like it's a bit like talking to a brick wall. And the funny thing, I always reference things like The Office or It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And actually I have two quick It's Always Sunny references kind of within this point here. Talking to Finn is sometimes like the gang trying to get Charlie to acknowledge that he is illiterate. And it does seem like he is listening. You know, when you talk to him, when you ask him a question, he'll nod. He'll give that affirmative groan. He'll give an answer that at least kind of makes sense. You know, like he used context clues and kind of understood what you're asking to give you the right answer, or at least what he knows we want him to give is the right answer. But sometimes I kind of think he's patronizing me a little bit. He could just be being genuine and be forgetful later on when he doesn't kind of follow through with it. He is 3 years old, so I'm leaning towards just the forgetful but genuine thing. For another It's Always Sunny reference, in the episode where the gang buys a boat, you've got Charlie, Frank, and Dee who are left to work on fixing up the boat, getting it ready. And then you've got Dennis and Mac who are out getting equipment, kind of schmoozing the other boat-going people and partying and having a good time. And earlier in the episode, it is when they're kind of being tasked with what they're going to do. It's Dennis and Mac letting them know that they have to, you know, basically fix the boat up, get the barnacles off the bottom and all that. And initially, it's thought that Charlie and Frank, more specifically Charlie, is patronizing them with how he's responding to it. And Dennis calms down. Mac lets him know, hey, I don't think he's patronizing you. I think he's being genuine. It's just kind of dumb what he's saying. And it's funny because later in the episode, it comes out, I think he was not patronizing him in the beginning, but by the end of the episode, Charlie is openly acknowledging that he is in fact patronizing him. So I'd like to think that Finn is in fact not patronizing me, but he's incredibly smart and adorable also. So that saves him half the time. And another toddler news here. So Finn is crushing the toddler bed, toddler room. It's in terms of crushing, I guess, destroying, he has managed to eviscerate a couple of books and decide to store the contents of them under his bed. And it's kind of weird. It's almost like he's kind of saving them to build like a nest later or something like that. Needless to say, I got them out of there and no worries. He does not have that anymore. But there's still plenty of books that he's kind of pulled out and actually read them, as you should do books. And by read them, I mean, he remembers enough of what we say on each page. So he kind of sees a page and knows to say a certain word or see a certain thing. And I think I mentioned this on the previous episode. He has spent a couple more nights just kind of pulling his stuff down and sleeping on the floor. And I believe it was last night, he had actually just stripped all of the sheets off the bed and kind of thrown them about. Not a huge fan of that, but thankfully it's a toddler bed and it takes all of like a minute to remake it. So not a problem there. And possibly one of the most important parts of fatherhood that is not directly related to raising the child is chores, which in dad terms, that's just, that's a workout. So if you don't actually work out independent of chores, those do count as workouts. We had a big snow here in Southwest Virginia coming through. I think it's actually currently still falling now. Of course, being the proactive guy that I am, salted the driveway per my wife's direction. And first time I've actually done that, usually it's just waiting for it to come and shovel. Sure enough, today I got shovel too. But before salting the driveway, I did get to take down all of the Christmas decorations between the lights, the group of animals around a fake fire in the front, which included, it was a dinosaur, a puppy, like a schnauzer, and a pig, I want to say. They're all sitting around like a fake little LED fire. Pretty cool. And in terms of taking down lights, some of the lights were wrapped around. We have two trees in the front yard, one which is adorably short, the other one not as adorably short as it's pretty tall. The winding them around the branches, I guess, wasn't as much of an issue when I did it before, but now having to get up there, get them down, unwind them, and actually did whip myself with the lights as I was unwinding them, which was great. It was fantastic. But I had some sketchy moments with the ladder, which, another shout out to my wife, she did get me a telescoping ladder, which I believe I've praised before. Incredibly easy to use and like helpful in terms of a small ladder that you're able to just, you kind of slide it up and it locks in to each different level. And you just kind of get it back down, like pushing the buttons in. So huge fan of that. But when you're putting a telescoping ladder against a branch, the further, of course, you get away from the branch, this is, I guess, the statics from engineering. The weaker the branch is, as you get further and further away from the original point of where the branch is. So needless to say, it was pretty cold outside and a little nervous about like a cold wind kind of taking me and blowing the ladder off and me with it. And there was at one point where I had to get the ladder almost fully extended, going about halfway down a branch. And I don't know if you ever had those moments where you go to set a ladder up, you kind of look up, it looks pretty sketchy, but you just decide to go for it. I literally got all the way to the top and just got to the top, looked over for a second, just audibly, I said nope out loud as if there was anyone there to hear me. Just said nope and went right back down. That's one of those where I probably could have realistically grabbed and kind of dealt with it, but I'd rather not have fallen off the ladder, taking down the decorations, let alone, that'd be a huge bummer. And especially, you know, that was, I think, the last thing I was taking down. So I wasn't trying to mail it in towards the end and then kind of get a little lazy. And I still had to end up putting the stuff away back in the attic. So I still had another rest of the work to do and salt the driveway. But yeah, the dad chores are always a great time. And that is, in fact, fatherhood in what I believe to be 5. And now to the Dynasty update, which, as I previously mentioned, I know that we are just kind of getting into the off season for Dynasty Fantasy Football. Still some NFL playoff games to watch, so you can kind of take some information from that. There's still some information here and there as teams are getting new coaches, and new staff as a whole, as contract stuff is not really happening quite yet, maybe just some talk of what potentially could happen. And in reference to one of the previous chores I was talking about, when I was taking down the Christmas lights, part of that process is, of course, looking at all the strands of lights that you have and making sure you don't pack away one that doesn't work. Obviously, that would make no sense because if it doesn't work now, it's probably not going to work in another year. So after checking that, and it kind of got me thinking about just Dynasty Fantasy Football from the terms of, on your teams, sometimes you have those lights that you just got to get rid of them. You just got to toss them out and get ready for the next Christmas season. And in this week's Dynasty update, I'm not looking specifically at players that are all on my team, but I am looking at one player from each position, going from quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end. And this is all based on full point PPR. How I'm looking at it is each of these players finished within the top 10 of their own position. And each of these guys, I see them as not finishing within the top 15, if it's a quarterback, or top 20 for the 2022 year for fantasy. And so that's how I kind of see them as their the strands of lights at the end of a Christmas season that aren't going to make it to next year. And that's kind of how I'm viewing some of these players. So first up, I've got Matt Stafford. He finished fifth in fantasy this year, 347 total fantasy points, 67% completion percentage, about 4,900 passing yards, I think a little less than that, and 41 touchdowns and 17 interceptions. I know it's his first year in the LA Rams offense. McVay obviously consistently touted as a offensive genius. He has a number of weapons there. I know that later in the season, Robert Woods, Bobby Trees, if you will, is now recovering from an ACL tear, and he is a bit older, I think closer to 30 years old, a great producer in the last couple of years. OBJ was traded there during the season, and we'll see what happens with that, if he ends up staying or not. And in terms of the running game, I know they lost Cam Akers back in July to an Achilles injury, and sure enough, he is back. And we'll see how these playoffs, the NFL playoffs, take form to see if Akers is even more heavily involved or if they stick more with Sony Michel. But I'm looking forward to seeing what the team looks like next year. In the prior year, so in 2020, that was his final season with the Lions, he finished 16th out of all the quarterbacks. I'm not saying that the LA Rams offense is going to regress to what the Lions offense is or was in 2020. I'm more so seeing it from the standpoint of clearly he passed a great deal to be able to generate, you know, the 4,900 passing yards and 41 touchdowns and 17 interceptions. I know that's a good amount of picks, but you're going to kind of see a shift or a changing of the guard with wide receiver. I'm a believer in Van Jefferson, who is a guy that I think is going to step in and work alongside Cooper Kupp, and we'll see what else they add to the picture there. I don't think OBJ is going to stay. Robert Woods obviously is going to be coming back, but we'll see when he's healthy and if they maybe add a little bit more to that passing attack. But I kind of see it more as I think they'll want to lean more heavily on the running game, of course, with a good defense as well. I don't think it's so much a limitation of Matt Stafford as it is just kind of asking him to be more efficient, but play up in those big moments versus having to generate those sorts of stats to keep the offense going and churning and winning. Although it never hurts to have Matt Stafford as your quarterback because he is incredibly talented. Next, for the running back, this is a guy who I actually had traded a couple weeks into the season. I'm, of course, in a rebuild, so I didn't see much value in having him, and I guess I traded him a little bit before he really ascended to, you know, putting together a couple of good weeks, certainly before his backfield partner went out with a multi-week injury. And I'm talking of James Conner, the running back for the Arizona Cardinals. He finished sixth in 2021 in PPR. He had 298 fantasy points. And out of 202 rushing attempts, he had about 750 yards. And that ends up being about 3.7 yards per carry. Pretty shocking. In terms of his receiving chops, out of 39 targets, he caught 37 of them for 375 yards, and then a total touchdown count of 18. So 15 on the ground and 3 through the air. I mean, the 3.7 yards per carry is incredibly inefficient as a rusher. And there's going to be, without a doubt in my mind, some touchdown regression. Even if you don't include the three receiving touchdowns, 15 rushing touchdowns, that's bananas. And I do think it would be good if he was going back to Arizona. I don't know that he is, but I think that'd be good for him and for Arizona. He certainly showed his value with Chase Edmonds when he went out, and even when he was in there, to be able to spell Edmonds, as Conner is a bigger back that can work the goal line. And he seemed to do pretty well when Murray was out to be able to kind of help the quarterback filling in. But I kind of see it more as if you're getting a healthy season of Kyler, it's not to say that that would completely just take away what Conner does. But I do believe that a healthy Kyler, Edmonds, of course, being there, and I think even maybe a couple more weapons as they look to continue to improve on what is already a very, very good offense. And of course, some touchdown regression. I really don't see him cracking that top 10 or even cracking that top 20. I do think he's going to have a good year next year, and I do think it will be with Arizona, but I don't think it's going to be top 20. So for the wide receiver, and actually as I am recording, I'm watching him play, it is Diontae Johnson. And he finished ninth in PPR in 2021 with 275 fantasy points and a pretty astronomical number of targets. So 169 targets and caught 107 of them. And I know that it's Big Ben's final year. It's kind of a dink and dunk kind of an offense this year and last year. Again, you could say it's because of the style of offense. You could say it's because Big Ben just can't do it anymore. I'm inclined to believe a little bit of both. I mean, he certainly got his touches. If you look at him getting 169 targets, I mean, that's crazy. But having a little over 1,100 receiving yards and 8 touchdowns, I mean, those are solid numbers, certainly. And, you know, going over those 100 receptions is good. But I'm kind of looking at it next year. Even if it'll be a new quarterback, again, regardless of whether it's Mason Rudolph, Dwayne Haskins, if it's a rookie, if it's a Kenny Pickett, if it's a veteran, I'm more inclined to believe, you know, if it does end up being a veteran, you know, a good player such as a Aaron Rodgers, or even if it's a Kirk Cousins or something like that, then I may have to bite my tongue on this one. But I had heard something that they were leaning more to actually bringing in a rookie to compete. And I don't know that that is to say that they would not even entertain getting a veteran quarterback. They may or may not. But those stats that I mentioned with him finishing ninth, he did only miss one game. And I know with Juju Smith-Schuster going down, and I know he's now back for the playoffs, they didn't really have many other options aside from Pat Freiermuth stepping up big as a rookie, mostly in the red zone, and Najee Harris just bearing the load of that offense. I don't see as much of an opportunity for him going forward. Again, if it's going to be a rookie, if it's going to be a Kenny Pickett or whoever, if it ends up being a veteran, a good veteran quarterback, then I could maybe see it. But still, I think they'd be hopefully in a more prolific offense, trusting that quarterback to do more if it's not a rookie. And it wouldn't be funneling him 169 targets. We'll see. This is the one I'm most nervous about in terms of he may end up still doing it, but it doesn't look to be in the cards for Diontae Johnson next year, and I see him outside of the top 20. So the final one, this is for the tight end. And the previous three, I would say maybe the most obvious of those three is probably James Conner, considering his sheer number of touchdowns. And this one here for the tight end might be the easiest to pick. Hunter Henry, he did finish 10th. In 2021, the tight end for the New England Patriots. He, of course, being the safety valve for Mac Jones, and he was able to amass 9 touchdowns off of 50 receptions and 603 receiving yards. And that in total got him 164 fantasy points. The phrase is normally when you have a rookie quarterback or, you know, kind of the check down, you look to for the tight end to get a lot of those receptions. And it was a mix of that certainly being true, but also it was just interesting to see how the offense functioned, not just with a rookie quarterback, but some of the games, just how heavily they leaned upon the rushing game. And of course, having an incredible defense really helped for New England. But I would say with some touchdown regression, I do think, you know, 50 receptions, that's probably pretty reasonable for him. The other offseason acquisition for the Patriots in Jonnu Smith, I know didn't really do much of anything. I was pretty disappointed by that. But we'll see what happens. I know in 2021, we did have Hunter Henry only missing one game, I think, which was a huge boon, as I know that when he left the Chargers, that was after at least one significant injury. It might have been two, but I know missing a number of games. And when he was healthy, performed incredibly well. So that certainly helped him get a payday in New England. But finishing 10th in 2021, I really don't see him finishing inside the top 20. It'll be a bummer. It'll be a disappointment. But I think with some increased competition and just him not being a focal point in the offense, I just don't see it for him. So thank you for tuning in to yet another episode of Father Dynasty. Like, subscribe, review, comment, whatever you got to do. Follow me on Instagram at Father Dynasty and let me know what you think. You know, I appreciate what you guys have to say, and certainly helps to drive the content in a way that you guys will most enjoy it. So I hope everyone's enjoying the wildcard weekend and all those dynasty daddies out there.